Okay, so the first thing I want to just touch on is there is this service provided by the Treasury Offset Program. We are going to have this poster up at every site this year. So if they call this 1-800 number right here, the 1-800-304-3107, it's a 24/7 hotline. So if they call that and they have defaulted on their student loans, the robot AI thing will tell you if they have defaulted on their loans. And if they have, you would want to encourage them to get out of default on their loans because the IRS and Wisconsin can take your refund to repay that amount. There are two options for you. Well, for the client, if they want to get out of default, you can either file a consolidation loan, which would put you back into good standing. And also, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think you have to make 9 consecutive payments on your loan that you have defaulted on, and then that would put you back into good standing.
I remember.
I did get an email yesterday that the U.S. Department of Education is delaying collections of federal student loans this year. So the IRS could maybe potentially not take their refund this year, but this is still a good thing for them to call and see if they're in default because we would want to get that problem fixed for next year when they do start collecting payments again. Does anybody have any questions on this? Yeah.
It's in the red section. It's hard to see, but
Let's just see.
it says before filing your taxes,
Yeah.
call the Treasury on program at 800-304-3107. There's a QR code too for the techie people. 800-304-3107. Sorry for my head.
As long as no one has any questions on that, we are going to jump into a practice tax return. And Jennifer has sent you guys an email containing a PDF of what we are working on in the conference room. Okay. Can you see the screen? Okay. Okay, so we're going to do this in the practice lab so you guys can replicate this at home after the fact, or if you want to do it along with us. So the password for the practice lab is TrainProWeb in all capitals. And then you just sign in with your normal account that you've created to use the practice lab. Okay, so if you're following along at home, we have Jimmy John and Amy John. They get Social Security, so we have their Social Security number on that form. So if you flip to Jimmy John's 1099 SSA, you can see a Social Security number there, which is 123006789. And then you have to enter it twice just to make sure that you're entering it correctly. If you don't enter it correctly, then you'd have to fix the top one or whichever one was wrong. Okay, so the first step in preparing the tax return is filing status. So if you want to look at the 13614C provided, you can see that Jimmy and Amy are married and they will be filing jointly. If they were filing separately, that would be out of scope for us. So now you'll just follow along on your 13614C and enter the information as cited on that worksheet.
When you're putting your name in, make sure you take it off of your Social Security card or the Social Security statement, because the way the name is on the Social Security card is the way that the Social Security office has it. We need to make sure it matches with the Social Security number. So I would suggest that you take the spelling of their name off of the 1099 SSA or off of their actual Social Security card.
As you can see, I entered his birthday and he's a locksmith. Then you would just go through your yellow 13614C and look at the questions and see if they've answered any of these. And it looks like Jimmy has not, so we'll move on to spouse information. His spouse is Amy John. And then they provided us with a 1099 SSA for her too. So if you flip to that, we can find her social security number.
Six, eight, nine.
689
Zero, zero.
or 0 967. And then we can see that her birthday is 07/29/1965, and she is a rug maker. So just going through the 13614C, we can see Jimmy was issued an IPIN.
He wants the 3 hours.
And she wants to contribute $3 to the presidential election campaign fund. So we would click that for her.
Oh, and he wants stuff in a different way.
Then you enter the address. This is the mailing address. So if they are receiving a check, this is where their check would go. So it's going to 101 Teller Road in Wapakoneta, Wisconsin. And then you have to get a phone number for them too. So the phone number they provided was 920-787-3949. And that's all for that section. Now it's going to ask you for some information from Wisconsin, which you can find on the Wisconsin intake form. So first, it's going to ask you for county. She lived in Wapaka, they both lived in Wapaka County. The school district for Wapaka is Wapaka. And she lived in the city of Wapaka.
Make it simple.
Okay, now it's going to ask if any dependents are qualifying persons. This can be found on the bottom of the first page of the 13614C. As you can see, they do not have any dependents. So now we are going to jump into the income section. If we take a look at the second page of the 13614C, we can see that they have one W-2. There is tips, which $400 was not reported. There is a 1099-R. Two social security forms. She does have self-employment work on a Schedule C, and she got $50 for jury duty. Just flipping through the rest of the yellow sheet, the only other thing on here that she got was a 1095A for her health insurance that she got through the marketplace. And one thing that I missed that I should have put in on the basic information side was Jimmy's IRS identification pin, protection pin, which is on this little letter if you're looking at the PDF version, or in person. So you see the sample letter here. Only Jimmy got a protection pin. And you can see his pin was 896545. And that's all you have to do for a protection pin. It's very important that you do enter it if they do have one, otherwise, tax return will be rejected. Okay, now I'm going to start out with the W-2. The W-2 is for Jimmy, so Jimmy is the taxpayer, not the spouse. So then you will just enter the information as it is shown on the W-2. Works for Locks Locksmithing, and it automatically pulled through with all the information. Yep, sometimes you'll have to manually enter this in. Now we're just going to go along and enter all the information on there. So he received $50,670 in box one. His employer took out $175. And numbers in three and five are the same, but there are times that these will be different. And then you'll have to go through and change those numbers. Referring back to the 13614C, you can see that he did get unreported tips, and that is in the amount of $400. Then we move on to the state section of the W-2, Wisconsin. Enter the employer ID. And then box 17, state income tax withheld was $100.
I have a question,
Yeah.
not related to your specific scenario, but what are the circumstances where the Social Security and the Medicare wages might be higher than the wages in box? Why does that happen? Like mine is always better because I help you.
And for the online people, they asked why the numbers could be different. From box one, three, and five. And what did Bonnie say?
Medical.
Oh, for medical insurance that has been taken out, that would be a reason why you could see that taxed.
But go back to the unreported tips. So you're that just wanted to point out that your unreported tips box is under box 10 where it says dependent care benefits. Just so you know where that's at, because some people have a hard time finding it. And it's not numbered, so.
Okay, so next I'll move on to Social Security. Both received Social Security. The box five amount for Jimmy was $4,369. He did not elect to have any federal income tax withheld. He also did not have any Medicare premiums.
I have a question. So Jennifer said the unreported tips went on that box 10 on the W-2. If they didn't,
Under box 10. Yeah.
and if they don't have a W-2, because they're self-employed, but they have unreported tips, do you still put it on the W-2 screen, or is there a different place to put it?
That's on Schedule C.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What was the question?
So. If you don't have a W-2, where do you put the unreported tips?
Okay, so someone in person asked where you would put unreported tips if you do not receive a W-2. For instance, you're self-employed. That would go under Schedule C. And if I can find Amy's social security. Amy received $2,489 in social security. And she also had no Medicare premiums deducted and no voluntary federal tax withheld. Okay. So next form of income that I will go over is, it looks like we have a 1099-R. Well, to enter the 1099-R, you go under the same page where Social Security was and add or edit 1099-R. This is for Jimmy, so he's the taxpayer. Payer ID is 412000, a bunch of zeros. It automatically pulled through. Well, that's good. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes you'll have to enter that manually. He took a gross distribution of 15,684. The taxable amount was not determined. So we are in a click here, this little hyperlink right here where it says click here for options, and we are going to fill out the simplified method worksheet. So for the first question it's going to ask you is the plan cost at annuity start date. That can be found in box 9B, 22,163. For this example, the you have asked Jimmy if this when the he has started taking a distribution from his IRA, and he responded that this year was the first year that he started taking a distribution. So that will be the start of the annuity, his first distribution on 02/01/2025. And then, as you can see, it has calculated the age of annuitants at the start date.
I have a question, Keaton.
Yeah.
Is the retirement just him, or is it for him and the beneficiary? I mean, is it a so the combined? Do we have to do the combined ages or just his?
No, this is just for him.
Okay. So he dies, the annuity stops.
Yeah.
Perfect. How do you know that? Because he
So, there's a spot where you can click that it's joint, right?
Yeah.
There's a little checkbox right above.
Yeah.
So click it and see how the age changes.
Up to 126.
Because it includes the wife, the bathroom. Then so you can unclick it now to get it right.
Oh, so it automatically got the man.
Yeah.
And then I have a question. How do you know that that's not, how do you know from that 1099 that it's not a lump sum versus you're trying to calculate payment?
Probably because of the total employee contributions is larger than the amount that they took for a
So what if I'm
distribution.
taking a lump sum this year and a lump sum next year? I mean, how do you know that you're going to use monthly things? Do that sometimes. I mean, maybe.
They're just going to tell us the gross distribution for the year.
Right, but then how do you know it wasn't a lump sum?
Well, if as it says,
Because it
date of
says
payment.
date, yeah, but I've got a lump sum payment on February 1st. How do you know it wasn't just a lump sum?
Well, I mean, that would be a question that you would ask them if they were
Okay.
interested. I mean, so usually
And I don't
lump
know what
sum
people tell
payments.
me, what do I see on that? So it's a question. I'm not trying to ask a trick question by any means. I just want to know, how do I know this stuff? Do I know it because somebody told me that? Or do I see something somewhere on one of these documents that triggers the you should know now that you need to do this?
Okay, so the question is how do we know if it is a monthly retirement payment or a one-time lump sum payment.
Right.
So usually your one-time lump sum payments are people who are not retired and they're taking money out of a retirement account ahead of time for some sort of something, right?
Not necessarily.
No?
Only because like I've had non-qualified deferred compensation plans, non-qualified plans, that they've been paying me out a lump sum in five equal installments over 5 years. And so I get a lump sum once a year. And, oh, but you know what? I think it's reported on a W-2. I don't remember now.
So this...
Maybe. Does it matter? Well, he's going to calculate monthly stuff. Does it change it?
Well, in that case, because it's a non-qualified plan, I don't know that you would do the simplified method because it's not a qualified plan in order to do that, right?
I don't know what that means, I guess. Because with the non-qualified, well, okay, but we're going to ask them if it's monthly, and then we know that we would need to use the months and the simplified method.
That's a question that we're going to have to actually look up and do some research on.
Because, well, you can enter the number of months paid. So if it was a lump sum,
right,
1 month,
right,
correct?
Yeah, but it's still going to then try to divide it by that total number of months that you are adding up.
But I would only put 1 month in.
But I mean the ages, so that when you still use the ages, it's still going to try to do some type of proration. But it's going to use a 1 instead of 11 or...
Right? Okay.
I understand. I did this manually yesterday because I didn't know there was a simplified worksheet in here. So I went and did the calculation by hand on the notes area or whatever.
Okay.
But it kind of told us. And don't go too far on this rabbit hole.
So that's something that we're going to have to look up to find any information on, like one time. So I'm not of retirement age. I don't get a monthly retirement, but I have a retirement plan. If I were to pull money out once, I would get a 1099-R that shows that I pulled money out early, right? So my distribution code would not be a 7.
Right.
It would be something different. So you wouldn't do the simplified plan because it's not my retirement age, right?
Yeah.
So, and the difference between a qualified plan and a non-qualified plan may be where we would not do the simplified form. It would just all be taxable. But that's something that we're going to have to dig into because I don't know that that's what that is off the top of my head. So that's something we would have to look up. And so Don just put, I think I have seen dollars in box 2A, but then box 2B is marked. Is that possible? Yes, that is possible. Sometimes people do mess up when they're filling out these forms or, you know, whatever. But if there is an amount in the taxable amount box, you don't have to do the simplified form, right? Everything's good. It's only when there isn't an amount in the taxable amount box where you have to do the simplified form if they are retired individuals and they have started pulling money from their retirement in order to live on, right? As for the qualified, non-qualified, and a lump sum distribution for a person of retirement age, that's something we'll have to just dig into and do some checking and then send out a email on.
Okay, so for this example, since he started in February, we'll say that number of months paid was 11.
I think he just started this year, there are no months previously.
Oh. Oh, So on here, amount previously recovered, he's not recovered any. So because he has not taken a distribution from his account yet.
Also on the bottom of that page, there is that PSO, the public safety officer exclusion, where you can exclude up to $3,000 for health insurance premiums. And then underneath that, I do know that we have some volunteers. I know this isn't necessarily any of our clients have this, but some of our volunteers pay charitable donations through their IRAs and they have it sent. So this is the box where you would put that in, is right here in the 1099-R. So just so you know, if you're working on your own or somebody else's that has that, that's where you'll find it.
Okay. Now that we have done that, they have calculated the taxable amount. So we can see the taxable amount is $14,523. So now we're going to just go through the rest of the 1099-R and fill it out as it's shown. So the next box we come to is box 7, which is distribution code 7. And it is an IRA, so that box was checked. And then 9B, total employee contributions, was $22,163. The payment 0201-2025. And then box 15, Wisconsin. ID is this one. And then state distribution was automatically entered.
Can you go back and tell me what the taxable
$14,523 was the taxable amount. Now it's going to ask you if you make an early withdrawal from a retirement account due to a qualified disaster. In this case, no, they're just making a regular withdraw from their account for distribution. So now I believe we should be moving on to self-employment. So we can see that Amy has filled out her self-employment worksheet. So for self-employment, we're going to go to Schedule C. This is for the spouse because it's for Amy. She didn't put a business name down, but she did put an address of 101 Tower Ro Road. And then it's in Wapaka. And then it's going to ask you for a business code. Sometimes they'll know it. Sometimes, if they came to us in the past, it'll already be in there. For our case, she's a rug maker, so we probably won't find that on this list, but we can use the thing that we can find closest to it, which will be probably dumped like in manufacturing, I'm assuming.
And Pete, were you just scrolling down on that page? Is that where all these things are listed?
There's a little blue link right above the business code box, and you click that box, and it brings up a new tab, and it tells you all sorts of business codes.
And then, just for this example, we are going to call her a textile mill. Sometimes you have to be a little creative. Okay, so first section we go to is income. So, total income that she received from her business, including tips, was $4,567. And then, updated this year on the self-employment worksheet, you will see an additional line for tips, if they are wanting to claim the tips deduction. So in this case, she has it added into her gross income and also included on the line below, so we know how much to put for her deduction.
And where do you put that deduction?
On the deduction page. Yep.
You didn't do that
Not
yet.
yet. No.
Oh, we wait till we're done with you.
So next, we will go to general expenses and enter them as she put them on her worksheet. So she paid $50 for advertising. And then the next one will be. Rent or lease of equipment. She paid $400. She also paid $170 for repairs and maintenance and $200 for supplies. Okay, and that is all of the information that she has provided. She did not use a vehicle for business purposes. So that's everything that we include on there. So now you will see that her total net income was $3,742. So now, for example, if she is claiming the no tax on tips deduction, she would only be able to claim up to $3,742.
So I missed it. Did you enter the $100 in tip?
Not
Not
yet.
yet.
Well,
It is included in her gross business income. But we have not entered the deduction yet. Okay. Now if you refer back to the 13614C, you can see that she got paid $50, or one of them got paid $50 in jury duty. So you will go to other income not reported elsewhere. And let's say now you ask the taxpayer who got this, and we are going to say that it was Jimmy who has served jury duty. So now it's going to ask for a description. There's a drop-down menu here. If I move this out of the way, you can see right here, jury duty pay is one of them listed. And then she got $50. And it would be considered earned income because she.
Not one. I was not going
Oh, it
to.
is not in her. Yep. It's not considered earned income. Okay. Now we will move on to the deductions page. And the one that we're going to be entering here for them is the no tax on tips. So to get to this section, it's under deductions and then additional deductions. Here you can also find the no tax on overtime, no tax on tips, and no tax on car loan interest. It's going to ask you to add a tip employer. So you have to enter the employer's name. So for Jimmy, he worked at Locks Locksmithing. And
Oh, this is for her.
there's
Employee.
two tips. Yep.
Okay.
He's from the IRS. He's got a good job, too.
Good. Okay.
For everything he wants.
So in this case, it wasn't on the W-2. But I think it would be included on Form 470, right?
No, it would have been included on M137.
Okay, so on the tax return, it'll be included on Form 4137. You can find that if you go into the preview of the tax return. We know it's $400, not 1,000. And then we also have her self-employment tips, which we'll do add another tip employer. Or
No, that
no.
means we have to put it in
qualified tips and student loans.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So for if you're self-employed, we will be entering the qualified tips from them on this line here, right?
She didn't have an NAC and not miscellaneous or K. So I'm not exactly
But
sure.
she doesn't have an employer.
Well, she's self-employed, so I have to put her name in.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, for self-employed, if it's
Perfect.
not on the 1099, so for her name.
Yeah, so we'll put, so you can either put self-employed or her name. So for this example, we'll put Amy John. And then she received $100 in tips.
Not in a W-2,
Oh.
and it's also back on the old to a 4037 because you didn't pay.
Well, okay, so this comes with a question. How do we do that?
Why do you think it's not 140 to 37?
Because we just included it as income on her self-employment. And the self-employment already does the Social Security and Medicare tax on the total amount. So,
I'm assuming based on what they said, that the $400, because of where we entered it, is going to get included on the 4137. Because we entered it on the W-2
right,
screen,
input screen,
and
right.
that tax layer is going to create 4137. We have not told tax layer about this $100 yet. It seems to me like the best, the place that's closest is to put it with the 1099-Ks or whatever. So
I think that's where we're
that
gonna have
is
to go with
seen
it.
on the list, even though we didn't have one. If it allows you, it
Okay,
seems like
so
it's allowing you to just
yeah.
put an extra number.
Think so, yeah. Okay, so the conversation we've been having here is that we have not entered it on any of these forms. So we are gonna make the assumption now that we will just be entering it here, on this line for self-employed people.
I assume we're going to look at
Yeah.
That would be my next step. I go right to the text.
Okay, so that is all we have to enter on the federal side. Yeah.
Surprise me. Oh.
Well, that's not under the federal section.
Caught me. I tell you.
So next we are going to go to the health insurance section. And we can see by the 13614A that they did receive a health insurance through the marketplace. And it looks like our intake person had to call the Social Security, yeah, or the marketplace phone number and had to fill out the form for them because it's filled out nicely.
Got all the pertinent information. That's all we need.
Who would do that?
Usually, site coordinator or tax preparer can make that call if they have time. I'd suggest you go, like, if you're at Wautoma and you have someone that has Marketplace, and usually it's the site coordinator because it's got rejected because they didn't have a form and we put it through without one and then it got rejected. So now we got to go fix it, right? But yeah, you borrow the site coordinator phone and you can go in the office, but the client has to be there with you because they have to give permission to the marketplace to be able to tell you the information you need to report. And they will do that. They're very nice about it. I've had to call several times.
They are really good about it.
Okay, so the first question you could ask, are you required to repay, blah, blah, blah? Most cases, the answer is no. And I've never had it BS. So sometimes there is another question here and asks if you're 100% below the poverty line. It is very important that you say yes to that if it does pop up, because if it does pop up, they are meeting that requirement. If you don't, it could lead to them owing some money. So the next question is, were there any changes? In this case, there was no changes. So we can say yes to this question. And then, so you would go down to line 33A, which you would see is $14,400. Line 33B, 1,300, 200, or 13,200. And box 33C, 9,600. It happened to be no. You would have to enter every single number in and then verify that the sums at the bottom are correct. But in this case, it was a yes. Yeah, I'll just re-enter that information in. So now we're going to move on to the Wisconsin side of the tax return. So if you want to flip to your Wisconsin intake form, you'll see that this person is not going to file for homestead. They're obviously over the income limits for that. But new this year for Wisconsin, we have a retirement subtraction for qualified retirement accounts. So Jimmy did take a distribution from his IRA, and that is considered a qualified account. I don't have the information in front of me directly. Do you know the amounts?
24,000 for single, 48,000 for, am I right? Or is it 12 and a half and so forth? Brain just went poof.
Talk about retirement.
For Wisconsin, okay, so we're looking it up right now, but we believe it's 24,000 for single and 48,000 for married. But if they are married, the other person has to meet the requirements for the exclusion. Otherwise, it would just be the 24,000. So to enter that in, we are going to go to subtractions from income and press begin. And then you're going to scroll all the way down to the bottom. You'll see retirement income subtraction. And it says it's restricted. So if they end up claiming this, not claim any credits in Wisconsin. You cannot claim homestead. You cannot claim school property tax credit. You cannot claim married couple credit. Nothing for Wisconsin you can claim.
Can you say that one more time, Beth? So if they claim that retirement income subtraction credit.
You cannot claim any Wisconsin credits. So in this instance, he wants to, since this will be beneficial to him. This being more beneficial than him claiming just like the married couple credit that they're eligible for. You click continue. Then there's nothing else to do on Wisconsin's side for him.
What number did you enter in there?
You don't enter any number, it automatically does it.
We just talk
You
about.
just check yes or no.
Oh.
And then you'll see since he did that, it was beneficial to him because you can see right now he's owing $87. And now we're going to exit for the for it to calculate. It looks like we have a question someone asked. But you can see Wisconsin went up to $100 since he excluded that amount.
So you had rent.
The school property tax credit would not.
It's maximum of $300. If they had a reasonable amount of rent, that only saved them $187.
It's not, but the school property tax credit is not refundable, so
This is refundable.
no, but it's doing the same thing basically.
There might be some playing you may have to
Yeah.
do between the two to see which way is going to be better for you, is what I think we're coming up with. Yes, 24,000 and 48.
And Jennifer did confirm that it's 24,000 for single and 48,000 for married. What's the question?
So hold on. So for the new credit, they have to be at least 67 years old as of December 31st. They can subtract up to 24,000 of income received. A married couple who file a joint return and are both at least 67 can take up to 48, regardless if it's just one or both of them with the retirement income. But they both have to be at least 67 in order to qualify for taking the 48. Okay, so hold on. What was your question? So when it comes to that new So in this scenario, their income is too large in order to get the homestead credit anyways, because the income limit is still the 24,680. So we wouldn't even have to worry about homestead for this one. For the school property tax credit, if they own their home and we put the taxes in on a Schedule A, does that automatically, are we going to have to go in and take that out? I haven't had a chance to play with it. So
It pulls through to Wisconsin, yes.
we
Because
have
we
to
went
go
from
in.
owing money to having positive to getting money back.
Let's
It's
look
not
at the return.
refundable.
If we're close to looking at the return, let's see what happens.
Yeah. So let's just finish off what we have and then we'll look at the return. So this we're hoping is fixed. This is because I'm assuming the tax layer automatically calculates the married couple credit. So the tax layer thinks you have a married couple credit. You can't claim both of these things. So this makes a validation error. We are hoping it'll be, this is just a practice lab issue, and we are hoping it's fixed by the time we start preparing actual tax returns. Otherwise, if it is not, Wisconsin would have to be filed by paper.
You can't make the correction.
Not that I could find, though. The only option for the married couple credit is adding their income, which is automatically pulled through from the W-2. Yeah. But
There's a lot of space on there, we can take that out.
no.
I hope Wisconsin gets that fixed before we go live.
So you can see married couple credit here, and there's no, you can only make an adjustment.
Adjustments to the sun doesn't make sense. So then. Yeah, because we don't know this is it.
Yeah. And there's nowhere on the software to say exclude credits from generating.
So we're really hoping that Wisconsin has their butt in gear and gets that fixed before.
So for this purpose, we'll just move on. And then it'll force us this, if this would happen, it would force Wisconsin to be submitted by paper return and not be allowed to e-file. So This year, the IRS is phasing out paper checks. You can see that I have stated that on the refund worksheet, which is filled out somewhere here. Let's see.
That's your consent. The page after your consent form.
Okay. So, as you can see at the bottom of the tax refund worksheet, it says the IRS is phasing out paper checks. You must provide the direct deposit information. If you do not, so if they do not, their return will be frozen for 6 weeks while the IRS issues them a notice. It is notice CP53E. So the IRS will do that automatically. It'll just be requesting direct deposit information from them. And to what I have seen, if they do not respond to that notice after the 6 weeks is up, the IRS will issue them a paper check. But this can delay the process up to 12 plus weeks. So we are strongly encouraging that they provide us with direct deposit information this year. If they do not have a bank account, there is a website that we can refer them to get information on how to get a bank account. There is also prepaid Visa cards that have routing numbers and account numbers that they can have their refund direct deposited on. And I want to cover the question that just came in.
Okay, so what Don is saying is that if we put in our property taxes on the federal Schedule A, we can always subtract that amount over on the school property tax credit side.
But we don't want to put a negative number into the married couple credit.
No, not the married couple
I
credit,
know,
but the school property tax
but that
credit.
only fixes one of our problems. We still have the married couple credit
Married
problem.
problem is still a problem. That's not something that we can fix. That's a back end software issue.
So since it has that issue, we would have to file for return with direct deposit
Our state.
for Wisconsin. Yes, they are putting it into a checking account. I just want to point out that you should encourage the taxpayer to put it into savings at least a little bit, because they could be eligible. They're eligible to then be entered into a drawing for a custom cutting board. So for this example, it's Associated Bank. 07590075. Then you have to enter that twice. And then their account number 12345678. Okay, the next section is state ID. So you would ask the tax preparer to or taxpayer to see their ID. And then you would enter it in as shown on the ID. If it is expired, tax layer will not let you input it. So then you would just put not provided. But you should be entering them in if they do have them with them. In this case, we're just going to say not provided. Next brings you to the consent page. In the practice lab, all the consents are not on there, but the first one is the yellow sheet, global consent. You can see that on the last section of the 13614C, and you can see that they both did sign this. And then for PIN, we put their zip code. There are two other consents that they did fill out for us, which is in here. One is to disclose their information, and one is to use their information. So this is for us to be able to write our grant to show how many people we've helped. This is not a requirement for them to accept, but we do strongly encourage it. And again, it's not showing up on here because this is the practice lab. Custom questions, you can skip that page. Those are the questions on the 13614C, but you do not have to enter them in. Custom credits does not show up in the actual lab, so you can skip that page. And now you are done. So you would mark the return ready for review and then pass it on to someone else. So now we're going to look at the return and see what it did, what it looks like.
Thank you.
This stuff will not print off in the actual lab. It'll start with Form 8879. So here you can see their adjusted gross income, the total tax, the federal tax withheld. When you have the taxpayer sign after you have reviewed it, you just have to inform them that they are responsible for all the information on the tax return. And then you could have them sign it on their line.
Penalty of death. I just think that would be fun once. Okay. 32.
So it's got that $400 of coupon.
Yeah.
And added it in.
Unreported tips right here. Then we have their IRA distribution right here. And taxable amount, the Social Security benefits, and that taxable amount. See the full amount. Not all of that amount is taxable. And then additional income from Schedule 1, line 10, 3,792.
That's her self-employed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you close.
Yeah.
So, man, what's
Nope.
18-16 bucks?
Adjustments to income from Schedule 1, line 26.
Oh, the plus.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably the self-employed. So we can go look.
Yeah. And then here's their standard deduction. The qualified business expenses, which pulled through from the Schedule C. Additional deductions of 6,500.
So 6,000 of that is because he's old.
Yep, that's the new enhanced senior deduction.
And hopefully the other 500 is
The tip.
the tips.
Is 400
I'd
worth
like to
per
go look at
100?
that, but
yeah.
Okay. So, hold on just a second. So, okay, so when we were in the income, the self-employment income was the net income, net of expenses, right?
Yes.
And then it's still pulling over here the expenses.
Because it's a qualified business income deduction.
So you get a double dip because it was reduced in the income and now it's also being, the expenses are being deducted here.
Yeah.
Right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
What is that six?
But
so it's like any other business. They take off their expenses, right? That's their net, and then they get to do credits and deductions, right?
so go to that form. So
What?
scroll down to whatever it is,
Schedule
14995.
eight. Sorry.
Oh,
that's net income right there. The 3742 was net of expenses.
yeah. And then this also includes her $50 jury duty on here. Line 15, this is her self-employment tax. So that's where the 265 came from on the other one.
That's the one half of this.
The no tax on tips, $400. and the additional $100, which came up to 500 total. They didn't claim no tax on overtime or no tax on car loan interest. Here's the new senior deduction, the 6,000. And then adding up the 6,000 and the 500 gets to 6,500. So this is the senior deduction and the tips added together. Self-employment tax of 529.
Oh, and then the additional taxes on the tips.
Yeah. So $31 was additional tax on this tip for Social Security and Medicare.
You have to pay that, just not the income. That's on the 500. That was, no, that was just $100. Yeah.
And then this is the total amount of other tax paid, 560. The net premium tax credit, 2,780, came from the marketplace. Itemized deduction, 5A, state and local income tax of 100.
Where did that come? Where did that come?
Yep. Oh. That populates from the W-2. If you had any from the 1099s, state withholding, that would have populated in there.
And then the total was just 100 because that was all that was on there. Here is the profit loss for Schedule C. Gross income of 4,567. Then she has her expenses here, which totaled 825. Bringing her profit or net income to $3,742. The self-employment tax worksheet. Which calculated how much self-employment tax she should have.
What's the number at the bottom? 245. 265.
265.
Oh, that's the one half that's subtracted from the front as a deduction to the income. So you have your social, you have your self-employment tax that comes as a tax after everything, right? But you get to subtract one half of that as an adjustment to income.
Okay, and that was the number we were trying to figure out what it was.
A 265? Keep going.
Now, Social Security, Medicare, and unreported tip income. So the 4137, $400 from Locksmithing because he had $400 of unreported tips. Qualified income deduction for her self-employment. And then here's the $659 that we've seen previously. Here's the premium tax credit and how that was calculated. So again, there's the 2780 that we've seen before. And then here is what the simplified worksheet did when we filled out, because the amount was not taxable on the 1099-R. This is what the computer did with the information that we entered in. And then the Social Security, this is how it determined how much of the Social Security was taxable. And then This is the consent, the global consent form. Now we move on to Wisconsin. Yep, federal adjusted. W-2 wages. Here's the married couple credit that automatically generated of $112.
So technically, the software would let us give them both married couple and the retirement income subtraction.
It's not supposed to, which is why it's giving us the error saying that
yes, it's
have
given
to
it
print
to them, but no, it can't fix it.
So technically, we could file them loan.
No,
let us file
it won't let
it's,
us file
this cannot be e-filed. This has to be paper filed because
let us e-file.
No,
and there's an error.
Yes, okay.
And we're hoping this will be fixed by tax season.
So where is the retirement season?
We're getting, we got to get to that page.
And then this is just amount that she's going to get back, $100. Itemized deduction, their married couple credit. That's how that was calculated. There was nothing on this page. Subtractions from income. So the Social Security adjustment. And then here's the retirement income subtraction, which excluded the $14,523. And then that restricts the other credits of married couple, which shouldn't have generated since. Yeah.
The old money should have been the refund if it's not the payment.
Because she paid $100, there was $100 on the W-2 that was paid in to Wisconsin.
So
$100 was in the system anyway.
Right, exactly. So what it is when you put all of that information in originally without taking this retirement credit, their income was high enough that they owed a tax that her withholding did not cover. But when they subtracted that income, now their taxes lower. So now their refund is because she had withholding.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
And then she had no other deductions to her, or they didn't have any other deductions. So that's the end of the return.
Can you just show me the main Wisconsin return?
Yeah.
Page one?
Yeah, page one.
What you looking for?
I'm looking for the subtraction. That 17 is the subtraction.
It's the 4.
That's the 14,000 whatever.
Yeah, plus the so other subtraction. Plus
there's some other subtraction.
Yep.
So if they had not been able to subtract that 14,000, the 19,000 number would be 14,050.
Yes.
And then they would have standard deduction. And end up having
tech.
Yeah.
Let's say, let's go back here and go back to Wisconsin. And we are going to say they did not take the retirement exclusion. So we're going to say no. And now that we said no, she goes back. They go back to owing $87.
But now go and add not homestead, school property tax.
Oh, okay.
Just say they pay, what, $10,000 in the rent?
They told us.
There you go.
It says they were.
Oh, they can get us back in the zero.
It doesn't say how much.
Yeah.
So let's just say that they pay, let's see, $1,500 a month times 12. I can't do that math.
$12,000.
Okay, we'll say, well, for this example, we're saying they got $18,000 with heat included. So we're, well, this did the same.
Hilarious. Chances of it doing exactly the same.
What is it?
It's giving her back $100.
Because the school.
That's the max she can get.
Yeah.
So it just reduced any tax liability that she had to zero, and either way.
And now, since we're not claiming the, retirement, we are allowed to now e-file. Yep, I'm going to the back to the just to show what happened here. We're going to scroll all the way down to Wisconsin and just see what happened. Okay. So now you can see. Yeah, right here. So
yeah,
that lowered the subtraction.
So the 34 is the 19 plus the 14,000.
Yeah. And then you can see here is the $300 school property tax credit that they got, and the $112 married couple credit.
Can you show me Form 1 for Wisconsin?
You're on Form 1.
Yeah.
Is that Form 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Form 1 is the main.
All right, so just show me what lines 30 through 35 are.
30 through 35.
On 4-1. 30 through 35. Earned income credit, farmland preservation credit, repayment credit, homestead credit, eligible veterans and surviving spouses, property tax credit, and
refundable. Look at what credits are excluded, and it's not explicit, but it said lines 30 through 35 on Form 1, which does not include school property tax credit, nor does it include the married couple credit.
That's true.
But in the webinar, the Department of Revenue stated that all credits are excluded. Okay. We're gonna see if about posting somewhere or possibly sending out the recording of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue webinar from this year.
Yeah, I'm at the schedule SB instruction for 2025. Hopefully they get fixed and we can actually just click buttons and not click buttons.
Yeah, that was good. Anybody online got anything they want to add? Questions, thoughts, concerns? Are you all still alive out there in the internet world?
Still here.
Anybody know the New York? Who was it? The New York Echo?
Let's see here. Did we get a link to state publications? I do not have any links put out yet for state publications. If you go to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue website, you can type in VITA. It'll bring up the VITA training materials. Or if you look for Form 1 or Schedule FB or Schedule CR, any of those things, they'll pop up links. I will see if I can get some links sent out to you next week, though. I could try. I'll add that.
Yes, if they do provide us with a driver's license, we are going to put it in the system.
Long as it's not expired.
Yeah. If it's expired, you don't have to because TaxSlayer would reject it. But otherwise, if they do have a driver's license with them, which they are required to have, so we can verify the picture on it that you're looking at anyway, you have to enter it in.
Notes of the things I have to send out to everyone.
Just some other stuff in the packet that I included for you to look at. There's a copy of this year's satisfaction survey. There is also an example of what our pink sheets look like this year. They're basically the same as last year. All we did was remove incentives offered. And there's also our demographic survey. We might be making a change to it, but Jennifer has to run that by someone first.
The demographics.
Oh, demographics.
Yep. You have to run that by Aaron, possibly adding.
You believe we didn't demonstrate how to fill out that pink sheet.
So it, are you looking at for the?
I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
So, for any of you that are. Yeah. Most of our people are really pretty good about picking and going, hey, we forgot initials over here. So, the little pink sheet that he's talking about is the one that's going to get stapled inside the yellow form that tracks where we are within the return, who has done what part of stuff. So, if there is an issue, we can go back and talk to them and see.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Work on it together. Copy of which packet? The training scenario I sent out as an email this morning or just before we started the scenario, so you should be able to find it in your email. If I missed you, please let me know and I'll resend it out.
The jury shut down to that out of the training.
Oh, no, I still have it up.
Could you like, get that PDF and send that out to the PDF of the tax people?
Yeah, like a completed one? Yeah, so you can, like, try and replicate it? Yeah, we will also be sending out a PDF of the completed tax return that we completed here today. Otherwise, if you guys want to rewatch any part of this training, it will be available hopefully next week sometime on our website at the very bottom of the VITA page under Volunteer Resources.
That's also where you can find the beginning basic presentation and the Wisconsin one also.
And I also hope to have up links, useful links like property tax websites from like Portage County, Washera County, Green Lake County. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Oh. If anybody